From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Oil is climbing again today. It's now above $141 a barrel in overseas trading. That's above yesterday's record-setting day. The price of oil is fanning fears of inflation and is pushing down global stock markets. Stocks in Europe are down, and there's been a steep plunge in Asia. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell by about 3% of its value, reaching a level not seen since September 2006. NPR's Jim Ciroli reports that yesterday's run-up in the price of oil was only the beginning of Wall Street's troubles.
An analyst issued a report warning that Citigroup and Merrill Lynch could lose more money than expected during the second quarter of the year. Economist David Weiss of Standard & Poor's says news like this is making investors more worried about the economy.
They're now becoming more convinced that the recession is going to happen, that we're not going to escape it like a lot of people were thinking we would a couple of weeks ago.
One of the hardest-hit stocks was General Motors. An analyst warned that the company might have to cut its stock dividend, driving its share price down to levels not seen in more than half a century. Jim Ciroli, NPR News, New York.
The most visible symbol of North Korea's nuclear program is gone. North Korea has demolished a 60-foot-tall cooling tower at its main nuclear reactor complex. The move came after yesterday's handover of an accounting of North Korea's nuclear program, but the claims Pyongyang makes still need to be verified. The chief negotiators from the nations involved in nuclear talks with North Korea are to meet as early as Monday. The head of human rights at the United Nations has called the crisis in Zimbabwe a perversion of democracy. Zimbabweans have begun voting in today's one-sided election. Many people argue the vote has no credibility. NPR's Afebi Quist-Arkton has more from Johannesburg.
There's a mood of tense foreboding and widespread fear reported in Zimbabwe. Witnesses spoke of indoctrination camps in and around the capital Harare, where Zimbabweans were being given orders to vote for President Robert Mugabe or else. Mugabe is the sole candidate, although his political opponent Morgan Tsvangirai is still on the ballot. Tsvangirai pulled out of the vote in protest at a wave of violence against his supporters. The government blamed the opposition for the attacks. Despite intense regional and international pressure, President Mugabe appears determined to win the vote, even though his re-election is likely to be deemed an illegitimate sham. Ophelia Quist-Arkton, NPR News, Johannesburg.
Democrats Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton will hit the campaign trail together today. They're to make a joint appearance in the symbolically named New Hampshire town of Unity. Meanwhile, at an event in Washington last night, Obama asked his biggest donors to help Clinton pay off her campaign debt. Obama himself wrote a check for $2,300 of his own money, the maximum allowed under federal law. You're listening to NPR News. The two lawyers sought to be behind the Bush administration's policy of using harsh interrogation methods on terror suspects have been grilled on Capitol Hill. But Vice President Cheney's chief of staff, David Addington, and former Justice Department lawyer John Yoo had little to tell lawmakers yesterday. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports.
New York Democrat Gerald Nadler chaired the combative House subcommittee hearing on whether the Bush administration's lawyers sought to justify torture.
I think I speak for many of my colleagues when I say that the more we find out about what was done and how it was justified, the more appalled we become.
David Addington denied he was the architect of a 2002 memo giving the president broad power to authorize harsh interrogation techniques that critics have said crossed the line into torture. John Yoo helped draft the memo.
These are very difficult legal questions. I think they are the hardest questions that a government lawyer can face. And I openly accept that reasonable people can differ.
You declined to answer many of the questions lawmakers posed, citing instructions from the Justice Department. Debbie Elliott, NPR News, the Capitol.
There could be more lawsuits filed around the country after yesterday's Supreme Court ruling overturning the ban on handguns in the nation's capital. The High Court said the right to bear arms is not absolute, suggesting many existing restrictions on ownership and where handguns can be carried will still apply. Legal experts say future lawsuits are inevitable as restrictions in other cities are tested in an effort to figure out exactly how far limits on guns can go. The next battles are expected to center on similar laws in San Francisco and Chicago. This is NPR News.